Hi, I'm Harry Reeder, Senior Pastor at Briarwood Presbyterian Church. It's Thursday, time for another slice of fresh bread. Glad to be with you, glad to be in God's Word, and glad to come to a rather challenging text, but let's take a few moments in it together in the Word of God. We're in 1 Timothy, we're in chapter 2, and we find ourselves at the conclusion of chapter 2. The Apostle Paul has laid out a priority of men in the profile of godliness. They're not identified by anger and quarreling. They're identified by praise and prayer and the Word. And women are not identified by the beauty of the world that is fleeting, but by the beauty that God produces from the heart. And then he says this, "Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over the man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first and then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became the transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness and with self-control." So the Apostle Paul begins to look at conduct within the body of Christ, and these godly women, he says now, in the context of the worship service, now that doesn't mean you don't sing, that doesn't mean you don't have a testimony, that doesn't mean you don't speak, period. What he's talking about is teacher exercise authority, that the woman does not take the position of ordained authority and teaching in the church. That is the position of the elders in the church. That she doesn't take that position. On the contrary, she, along with other non-ordained people, are hungrily receive the word with entire submissiveness. And so that the woman becomes the example of that submissiveness. She's not the only one. The non-ordained men are not to occupy the pulpit either, but they are to be there and to receive it. And then if she has some driving questions, and don't attempt to create controversy to instruct the instructor, she should call upon her husband first of all, because of his calling to wash his wife with the water of the word. And here is this relationship between a man and a woman in their home, and the relationships in the church do not contradict or conflict with that. Men and women have these relationships for two reasons. Number one, because of creation, that God created Adam first and then Eve. Eve was taken out of Adam in order to complete Adam. And so the male and female relationships in the home and in the church reflect the functionality of the woman's creation as a reflection of the man from him to come alongside of him. And then, by the way, the man is called to elevate the woman, treat her as a fellow heir of the grace of life, Peter says, and to elevate her. Now, people say, is this not demeaning? No, it's not demeaning. The rose in a rose bush is utterly dependent to come out of the bush and to be attached to the bush, but the rose becomes the focal point. The very thing that gives dignity and elevation to the woman is that relationship of submission and uniting with her husband in that context. And so here the Apostle Paul is laying out the order of creation and then a reminder that when Adam and Eve abandoned that order and Eve took the leadership away from her husband and the husband abdicated his leadership, that's what led to the transgression. And when that led to the transgression of Eve, then Adam also falls into sin and engages in the sin. But notice, God still treats the man as responsible. The Bible calls it Adam's sin because he is responsible in his calling of priority and responsibility and leadership within the home. Thus, he is identified as the progenitor of the sin, of original sin. So here he's saying, listen, God created us to function a certain way, so in the family and in the church, let's reflect it so that the woman does not take the ordained leadership of husband or the ordained leadership of elder, but comes alongside her husband and alongside of her husband submissively hears the word of God and receives it in the preaching and teaching from the authoritative office of elder and does not compete with it, but takes full advantage of it in the context of her relationship with her husband. So let's get back to the order that God's grace allows us to in the family and in the church. And that's another slice of fresh bread.
For additional resources from Harry Reeder, download the Briarwood PCA app from your app store.